John chapter 1 from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just that far. John will come and open that to us. Thank you, John.
That's where now it's working. Yes. Good. It's nice to be back in the congregation again. I said last time I had 25 grandchildren. Actually 23, but two are in the womb, and one just was born this week. A grandson, so I praise the Lord for that. And we brought one along this morning, and you can check out that we've got that many. I don't know if she can count that much, and if she's ever counted her cousins, but she's here, and you can meet her. But it's nice to be in your little congregation again, and welcome to the people of God. I want to speak about John chapter 1 in two parts. The first talking about Jesus in terms of his stature as God, and the second talking about Jesus as the Word, which means I have to come again. I planned that, by the way. But how the Lord begins a gospel is so important to the audience. For instance, we take the Jewish people. Matthew was written for the Jews, so it was written for all the people of God. It was mainly for the Jews. And we see that there is a great movement towards Christ today. And the movement is a movement of Jews in Israel who believe in Jesus as their Messiah. Now, when Israel was started in 48-49, it was a place where all the Jews poured in from all around the world, and they were they've been a persecuted people throughout the centuries. And many of the Jews knew Christians as Jew haters. There were Jews in New York, for instance. They had Catholics around them, and they were called crucifiers of Christ. And that's not a very nice thing to be called. They remember, of course, the Second World War, and some of them see Hitler as a Christian, but of course he was far from that. He tried to eradicate the gospel, starting with the Catholics and then the Protestants, and he went for then everybody else, also for the Jews. But many of the Jews have thought that Christians hated Jews, and that the New Testament was actually a Jew written by a Catholic or a Protestant, but in any case, a person that hated Jews. And I saw one particular touching testimony of a man who said, "I came to Christ. I loved him as my Messiah." And he said, "I read the first opening of the book of Matthew. And it said, the book of the genealogy of Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Well, you imagine his joy. Jesus is Jewish. My Messiah is Jewish. It's a part of the Jewish faith. And he was quite excited about that. So, again, beginnings of Gospels are important. Mark was written more for the Gentiles. It's more an active book. It's more a Samarical book. And Luke was basically a man, almost a third party, who gathered all the information from all the sources and put it together in his book in a wonderful way. Don't forget that the Lord always said, "Where two or three are gathered together, there will I dwell." Now, that didn't mean just where two or three people are. That meant two or three witnesses to any truth that was established. And God was establishing his truth by witnesses to that truth. And so he gave us the Gospel of John, which came later. The Gospel of John is a powerful book. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, John is telling us something very deep here. And Jesus had told his disciples in John 16, verse 12 and 13, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare the things that are to come. Wow, what a wonderful thing to start with. In the beginning was the Word. So he's going back in history, right to the beginning of time. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. We see here, and I'm just going to state it today, Jesus was the Word. We'll see why next time. Jesus was the Word. We'll see that he was a glorious heavenly being with God. It says, first of all, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, the word that's actually used is not just with, but it's towards God. It is with, but it's towards God. And that means in close fellowship with God the Father. In the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew 18, verse 10, Jesus talks about angels, and he talks about the lost sheep, and he says, I tell you that in heaven their angels stand before the face of God. Now, another way of saying that is the angels are towards God. Those are special angels, the angels of the lost sheep. And in this chapter, John chapter 1, it says, the Word was with God. Now, isn't that fantastic? Jesus had very close fellowship with his Father before the heavens and the earth were made. He had a high stature. He shared the love. He shared the justice. He shared everything of beauty, the most beautiful thing we can imagine. Remember one day on a Sunday, not too long after I was coming back, I came back to the Lord. And I was standing in a rowboat. And this rowboat was in the middle of God's beautiful creation up in Northern Ontario. I don't know if you know Northern Ontario, if any of you have ever been there. But it is beautiful. It was a blue sky and beautiful fluffy clouds. And then this greenery, a canopy of green. And I thought, wow, and that's yours, Lord. Well, that's nothing compared to the fellowship that Jesus shared with his Father. And yet there's people today that don't want to go a step further. They've existed throughout history. They say, well, okay, Jesus was a heavenly being. I can see that. Had fellowship with God. I can see that. Like one of the better angels, a special angel. I can see that. But how do I think of one God and another God? So they come up with modalism. They say, well, really, what the Bible is saying is Jesus manifested himself in the mode of the Father at times, in the mode of the Son at times, and in the mode of the Spirit at times. That's a modalism. But John immediately deals with that, and he says, the Word was God. Now that's put backwards, actually. It's called the predicate position to make it more of a stress. God was the Word. God was the Word. In other words, saying God was Jesus. Now, it's helpful just to think of it this way, just to put in there for your own mind, God the Son was Jesus. There was God the Father, and there was God the Son. We also see in Genesis 1 that there was God the Holy Spirit. But we're focusing today on God the Son. The Word was God. Now that word was has to be paid attention to because it's used in John specifically for Christ. It's the perfect sense. It's a sense of continuity. No matter when you look, it's Christ. And we sort of have a picture in the beginning. It's like going back to that very beginning, the beginning of creation. Just before, picture taken. Who's there? God the Son. God is right there. If we had a video, if we could take a video of God, and of course we can't, but if we could, you would look time before, God was there. And the time before, God was there. You take any part of that video, going eternally back, God was there and Jesus was there. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And they're in that unity. It's different. It's interesting that in the book of John, the word was is used in different ways. For instance, when John the Baptist comes, it says he came into being. Doesn't use the word was used of God. This is used four times in the first few verses. That was, that eternal was. But of John, he became. And what is very interesting is John 8, verse 59. Jesus said to them, before Abraham came into being, I am. Now, as he was saying that, they knew exactly what he meant. This is the great I am. We have many songs that talk about the great I am. That's Jesus. He is the great I am. He is, he is, he is, he is. He was, he was, he was, he was. He will be, he will be, he will be, he will be. All three are there together. And when Jesus said, before Abraham came into being, I am, that really got the Jews, because the Jews knew that God had said to Moses, tell them, I am has sent you. God identified himself as I am to Moses, and they knew that was Yahweh, Jehovah, God himself, and that Jesus was claiming to be God. And so, as men do, they gathered the stones ready to stone him because they realized he was saying he was God. God the Son. John, in his epistles, wonderfully displays Christ in all his glory. In 1 John 1, verse 1 and 2, he says, and that was written by John as well as Revelation, in case some of you don't know. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was manifest and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. So Jesus is God. Now, in the book of John, there are seven sayings, I am. This is all revealing the character of God. All his promises, all that he is from eternal God. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. It's living water that keeps going. It's got an eternal fount. It's for you. And he's going to let it come to you and renew your heart. And he's done so in many of you already. You see, Jesus was truly human, but he was also divine. And he is the life. And so the seven sayings, seven is the number of fullness, of course. I am, I am, I am, is about Christ as God giving you the promises that really can stick. And it's a wonderful promise that comes from eternity. I would like to turn to Philippians chapter 2 with you. I wonder, did you read from the ESV this morning? Yeah, I noticed that. Thank you. Made it easier for me. I do like the NIV, by the way, as well as the ESV. Sometimes I go to one and sometimes I go to the other. Okay, so let's turn to Philippians 2. This is about Jesus in the beginning, coming down to be a man later, who though he was, starting with verse 6, please, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Excuse me. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As I read this sermon over in preparation for today and came to the end, I thought, I want to listen to a certain piece. It's the Hallelujah Chorus. And here we see a passage of Scripture that wants to elicit from us the Hallelujah Chorus. I don't know how many of you know of Handel's piece, but it's a large part way into the oratorio of Handel. And this was done in a flash mob, which I would encourage you all to see. I usually don't like mixing the profane with the glorious. But in this case, the glorious overcame the profane, believe me, because this was a group in a mall, and one guy was holding a cleaning the floor sign, and suddenly this girl stands up, and she sings, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. She sings it beautifully. And this choir is right on tune. I've got very fine hearing for an instrument being on tune. And I thought, wow, right in the middle of the mall, she's right on tune. She's a good singer. And then suddenly a couple of guys get up and sing. And finally the choir arises. They're all dressed in ordinary clothes, singing Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And it's just so glorious. I would encourage you all to listen to that because it just gives us that sense of who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of God. He's been there from eternity. What a beautiful thing. And that song captures it. I think it's not for nothing that the Lord says, sing to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Music is such a conveyor of, a beautiful conveyor of words. And I have to think of one, love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Stay in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Don't you sense the awe, the majesty of God there, the sense that our Savior who comes into us is such a beautiful, beautiful person. He's a person, and he's a Son of God. Then it finishes, finish then thy new creation. So there's a new beginning, the beginning of creation in our hearts. Finish then thy new creation. True and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder and love and praise. Now it says thee, for the sake of the poetry, I left it thee. I didn't want to translate it for you, though I've done some of that. And that's nice in its own way. But I'd like to finish off with one hymn that's just a simple one. Beautiful Savior, ruler of all nature. And then it comes. It just unloads there. Son of God and Son of Man. Human nature, divine nature. Truly I'd love you. Truly I'd serve you. Light of my soul, my joy, my crown. Amen. Shall we pray? Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son, who had fellowship with you, was sent by you, sent down to the earth, became a servant, became obedient to the point of death, and earned our full and free salvation given to us all at once. Lord, we bow before you. We know you are the great and holy God. And we know our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, was with you and was God himself, God the Son. Lord, what a beautiful truth. And how that melts our hearts. We pray that we may live our lives in gratitude before you, with a knowledge of that, that in the profanity of our lives, where we see so many ordinary things around us every day, we may recognize that you have come down, heaven came down, and glory filled our soul. Where at the cross our Savior made us whole. Help us to be aware of that. Help us to be aware of Jesus, who is the one who was and is to come. For we know our help is in the name of you, our Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name alone. Amen.